Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Melville. Welcome to you here in person. It's great to be back in the pews. Welcome to you at home on Zoom. We are going to continue to do a hybrid service as long as we are able. So welcome. I'm not Bethany, as you'll recognize. She is away on study leave. But we want to extend a special welcome to Pastor Jake Birch. Pastor Jake is the, I wouldn't say newly minted necessarily, but newish pastor at Rouge Valley Church. After Pastor Miles retired, Pastor Jake came in to fill the pulpit. So thank you for being here this morning. Pastor Jake is going to share a sermon and some words with us later in the service. For those of you at home and want to get your Bibles ready, we'll be reading from Nehemiah chapter 1 this morning and from Acts 4. Let us just take a moment to gather our hearts and minds together in silence and prepare ourselves for the service. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise God in the heights. Praise God, all you angels. Praise God, all creatures high and low, rulers of the earth and all people. Praise God's holy name. Young men and women alike, old and young together, with voices united, let us praise the Lord. I invite you to join with me in a prayer. Sovereign Lord, who is there like you in heaven or on the earth? There is no one that even comes close. You alone are worthy of our praise. And so we have come to worship you, to praise your name, to proclaim your power and glory, to retell the stories of your goodness, to sing of your righteousness, to remember your mercy and compassionate love, to once again affirm that you are our God and that we are your people. Through the power of your Holy Spirit and the intercession of our Lord Jesus Christ, open our eyes to your presence among us. Open our hearts and minds to hear your voice, to recognize your call, and to faithfully follow where you lead. To you alone, Sovereign Lord, belongs all glory, honor, and praise, now and to the end of time. Amen. I invite Pastor Jake to come up. I'm sorry. Do you need the pulpit or the lapel mic? We forgot to do that.
No, it's all good. I'll do the word illustrated from here today. But I am going to need actually, I'm going to leave my mask on while I talk with the kids, but I'll take it off for later. Do you want me to take it off now? All right, I'll take it off now. Good morning. Welcome. Great to be here with you. I'm Jacob Birch. I'm the pastor at Rouge Valley Church. We meet here in the afternoon. Thank you, Melville Presbyterian Church, for being such wonderful hosts to us. We really appreciate the opportunity to meet in your sanctuary. You know, life, and especially the Christian life, I think can be lived in one of two ways. You can live life like a tennis player, or you can live life like a soccer player. Now, before we talk about how different they are, let's talk about how similar these two sports are. So what are ways, young people and young at heart people, what are ways that soccer and tennis are the same? Yes, they both have balls. That's right. This is the soccer ball. And of course, we have a tennis racket today, but you hit a tennis ball with a tennis racket. And I grew up playing both. I grew up in a place called Chatham, Ontario. Can you say Chatham with me on the count of three? One, two, three. Chatham. It's a very flat place, about an hour west of London. It's also really hot. It's even hotter than and more humid there than it is here in Toronto, if you can imagine. And I played tennis a whole number of summers at the tennis courts right beside Tecumseh High School. And I can tell you there were many times I hit the tennis ball, but there were many more when I missed it. So yes, that's one way they're the same. How else are tennis and soccer the same? Okay, I'll come back to you in a moment, but let's see if we can get anybody else. Is there anybody typing in on the chat? How is tennis and soccer the same? I'm happy to have online answers too. Anybody else? Okay, going once, going twice. Anybody on the chat? Okay, another time, right down here. Yes. You both have to run a lot. Absolutely, yes. A lot of running in soccer. A lot of running back and forth, on the tennis. One more. Let's try one more time. How else are tennis and soccer? Oh, we have a young at heart answer over here. Yes. There are rules. Absolutely. All right. Getting a little more philosophical there. I like that. There are line judges in both. Very good. Okay. All right. So we've got four or five. Oh, we got more young at heart. Yes. Both have nets. Very good. Okay. And yes. Both have uniforms. That's absolutely right. Very good. Yeah, the uniforms, so important, especially, you know, at the end of the match when somebody wins, it seems now the thing to do is you take your uniform top off, right? In both, you know, these soccer and tennis players, they're really known for being much better looking than your average minister. Okay? So soccer, tennis, lots of ways alike.
All right.
So now, every time in this little talk, I give here that I say tennis, I want you to hold the tennis racket up. All right, very good. And every time I say soccer, I want you to just throw the ball up and down like that. Can you do that for me? Just practice for everybody so that they all have confidence. You're going to catch it. Just throw it up. So soccer, okay, very good. All right, excellent. So now in what ways is life, in what ways are soccer good and tennis different? What ways are they different? Did you just, I'm sorry, are you okay? Are you all right? Okay, I know I'm scared. The board of managers will be after me. No matter who I am, I won't be back. We're whacking people. Okay, all right. So tennis and soccer, how are they different as a sport? Okay, a young at heart answer. One is a team sport. Soccer is a team sport. You have to play it with other people. Now, I'm aware that you can also play tennis, very good, as a team sport, doubles. But it is, let's be honest, you learn to play tennis. Most of tennis is played as an individual sport. Okay, how else are soccer and tennis different? Right. So soccer, you only play soccer in a team. You can't play soccer. That's like his, but it's a little bit different. I hear you, Tian. I'm with you on that. So soccer, you can really only play on a team. Let's be honest, unless you're on YouTube doing trick shots, right? Then you play soccer by yourself, but you're not really playing soccer. You're playing YouTube or TikTok at that point. But yes, and tennis, absolutely. You can sometimes play it as a team, but you can only play soccer as a team. Okay, somebody else. A young or young at heart answer, how are soccer and tennis different? Yes. Very nice. So soccer, you hit into the net, and tennis, you hit over the net. Okay, one more difference between, okay, over here on the far side. Right, you need to have a racket to play tennis, right? But with soccer, you just need the ball. You don't need. All right. Well, I started out by saying that the Christian life, you know, unfortunately, lots of us, even as a former tennis player, we live the Christian life like tennis. Hold it up. There you go. We live it, especially during COVID times when all kinds of us can, let's be honest, just stay home. And I've gone to all kinds of churches, and I've actually spoken at all kinds of churches, just sitting at home, you know, with one thing on top and something down below. And, you know, you're just kind of all by yourself. You're sort of trying to do the Christian life like a tennis player. But really, Jesus and the Bible wants us to live the Christian life much more like soccer. So the Apostle Paul was writing to the Corinthians who were trying basically to play the Christian life like tennis. They were each trying to do their own thing, running all over the court, going and saying and treating each other however each one of them wanted. And so Paul wrote to them, and he basically says to them, I want you to play the Christian life because it was designed to be played like soccer. And he says that to them in a bunch of verses, but the one verse I want to read for us today is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, girls and, yes, young and young at heart, folks, is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, where Paul says, he writes, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Now, that's the way it sounds in today's modern English. And I won't get into too much of a grammar lesson here, but in modern English, when we're talking about you singular, did you go to the store, and you plural, welcome all of you today, we only have one word. But do you know that in Paul's day, they had two words? There was a word for you singular. In other words, when I'm talking to you as a tennis player, I would use one word. And when I was talking to you as a soccer team, I would use a different word. We don't have that in modern English. But interestingly enough, the King James Version does have another English word for the plural you that uses the word ye. And so if you're ever unsure whether you're supposed to, a Bible verse wants you to play it like tennis, or it wants you to play it like soccer, just open up that little browser at home, type in the King James Version of this verse, and you'll see if it says thou or thee or you, then it's singular. And if it says ye, it's plural. And here in this verse, which we read in our modern translations, we could read it, now ye soccer players are the body of Christ, and each one of ye is a part of it. Paul, Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, whenever we have the choice to play the Christian life like tennis, I want you to go and look and see, is that Bible verse a tennis verse or a soccer verse wanting us to live more together, to pray together, to worship together, to be together, or to go it on our own? Thanks so much for all the help. Let's have a big round of applause for our two helpers today. Thank you for watching online, God's Word Illustrated, brothers and sisters.
Thanks, Pastor Jake. Our readings this morning are from both the Old Testament and the New Testament. We start with Nehemiah, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Forgive me if I mispronounce some of the Old Testament names. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. In the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa Hanani, one of my brothers came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And then I said, Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night, for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, "If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and by your mighty hand. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this, your servant, and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man." I was the cupbearer to the king. And reading from the New Testament, Acts chapter 4, verses 23 to 31. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. "Sovereign Lord," they said, "you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. May God bless to our understanding these readings from his most holy word.
Brothers and sisters, let us pray together for a moment. God, you're always speaking. From Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, you're always speaking, Lord. So, Lord, give us ears to hear today, I pray, from your word, what it is you want to say to each one of us. In Jesus' name. So in today's service, even in the word illustrated for the children, for young and young at heart, I want us to think about this analogy of the Christian life, and in particular, the Christian practice of prayer, more like soccer, less like tennis. We have had a real sort of tennis experience over the last few years as Christians. We spent a lot of time by ourselves. Our Christian faith has really fallen back to ourselves and the Lord, which is good. And there are absolutely tennis verses in the Bible, as it were. There are undeniably parts of our faith that we sort of pursue alone with ourselves and the Lord. But I think coming out of this time of pandemic, it's important that we hear anew the importance for us as believers, for you, Melville Presbyterian Church, as a church, to begin to really focus on your life together as a soccer team, or as those of you born and raised on the other side of the Atlantic Ocean would call it, a football team. We've spent some time at Rouge Valley looking at spiritual disciplines leading up to Easter, and I actually took this practice of prayer and included it not in the solitary practices, the inward practices, not even in the the outward practices that we do for one another, but in what I call the together practices, the practices that we only do with one another. I think we've all had enough of Christianity as tennis. It's now time for us as churches to come together again, whether online or in person, and really begin to enjoy and to benefit and to buttress each other by living our life together. Now, you may say, well, Jake, that's fairly shallow of you. If you need other people that much in your faith, I want you to know that one of the lessons I've learned during this pandemic is how much I need all of you, even as a minister, how much I need each one of you to keep my own faith alive. And you may think that's shallow. You may think that's weak. You may think that's undisciplined. Jake, surely you don't need anybody else to keep your walk with the Lord alive. You may even call me an extrovert, which I will admit to being on all of those various tests, someone who gets energy from other people. You know, I have had opportunity in my vocation, in my career as a minister, to work with congregations, also to work with other ministers. And invariably, when I want to, in a very shorthand way, understand, am I working with someone who's an introvert or an extrovert? I'll ask a fellow pastor, excuse me, sister, when you're done preaching, do you go home and have a nap right away? Or are you so excited you can't get to bed that night? And that's sort of one shorthand way to tell. And me on Sunday nights, I'm so excited and I've gotten so much energy from the people I'm with. I have a hard time going to sleep on Sunday nights because I'm so excited having had a chance to be with all of you together. So I'll admit that's where I come from in my own life today. So what I want us to do, Melville Presbyterian Church, going forward, especially coming out of the pandemic, in light of what we'll see here in just a moment from Nehemiah 1 and Acts 4, is I want us to start to picture and to practice prayer in our churches much more like soccer and less like tennis. So when it comes to prayer, why do we so often picture it like tennis and not like soccer? Well, this might be one reason. If you can go ahead a slide there. And then another slide. This might be one reason we so often, when we think of prayer, we think of it like tennis, me, myself, and I, and the Lord off by ourselves. This image and those like it are sort of the most revered images of Christian prayer. In fact, if you were just to go Google right now online, you know, picture of Christian prayer, something like this is going to come up. It's why I had us read two very different passages about prayer this morning. Nehemiah 1. This is not Nehemiah, this is Jesus, but this picture sort of envisions what Nehemiah was doing there in Susa, all by himself praying, and we're going to look at that in just a moment. But it's interesting that this image, which is Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, is so powerfully shapes our practice and the way we picture prayer. I asked the children during the Word Illustrated to listen for the pronouns. I want you to listen for the pronouns in Nehemiah 1 that Tim read so well this morning. And you'll see why in our minds, prayer like tennis comes up so often. Listen for the pronouns here. Nehemiah 1 verse 4, when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I was fasting and praying before the Lord of heaven. I said, I beseech you, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who preserves the covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keeps his commandments. Let your ear now be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant, which I am praying before you now, day and night, on behalf of the sons of Israel. I and my father's house have sinned. I. Tennis, 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 tennis. This is a tennis prayer from Nehemiah 1. The book of Nehemiah is launched by this one man receiving this one report and praying this one prayer, which empowers him to make this one request of this one king to embark on this heroic journey to rebuild the walls of his home city. Prayer as tennis, it's absolutely in the Bible. It's absolutely very important. But as a pastor, over now 29 years, I started my pastoral ministry in Scarborough at Bridalwood Presbyterian Church. I was their youth director for 3 years when Dr. Dan McKinnon was there. Over these 29 years, when I've spoken to youth groups and young adults groups, to seniors groups and to parents groups, to large churches and small churches and English churches and Presbyterian churches and evangelical churches and mainline churches and Chinese churches and Vietnamese churches, wherever I've spoken, whenever I've gone and sort of had an application around prayer, I'll confess to you that 99 times out of 100, I've told our people to pray like tennis. To go off by yourself with the Lord and spend time praying. And it's absolutely true in part, and you find it in the Bible. It's why I had Tim read it this morning. It's very important. But Melville Presbyterian Church, coming out of the pandemic, when all of us have basically spent our only time praying by ourselves, I want us to embrace anew, picturing and practicing prayer as a team. Less like soccer going forward, more like tennis. But let's look at this painting here again. What is it actually an illustration of? Yes, it's Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, but what is being portrayed here? Prayer is tennis for sure. But I want you to think about the fact that was this the way that Jesus wanted to pray that night? We pray with this picture in mind, thinking it is the ideal. But was prayer as tennis the sport Jesus wanted to play on that last night with his disciples? No, it wasn't. In many ways, this illustration, this painting, this mental picture we have of prayer is actually the mental picture of a failed prayer meeting. Jesus wanted to play soccer that night, not tennis. He asked the disciples to pray with him, to watch and pray with him. But what did they keep doing? They kept falling asleep. So we've taken what even Jesus would admit was a time of failure among his disciples and made it our ideal. So I want us to understand that if we want to change the future of Melville Presbyterian Church, we want to change the future of Rouge Valley Church, regardless of what the issue is, one of the things we have to do is we have to change our framing in order to change our future. We have to first change the way we think about whatever it is we're doing. And I think our framing about prayer is we have essentially idealized something that is less than ideal, is maybe the nicest way to put it. And so going forward, Melville Presbyterian Church, I want us to begin to picture and to practice prayer much more like soccer and much less like tennis. And you'll say, well, surely, Jake, you know, come on, this is not that big a deal, is it? Well, next slide, please. I'm completing my a degree at Tyndale Seminary, and one of the courses we all have to take is a course in spiritual direction. It's a wonderful course taught by an amazing professor, and it's all good, all right? Let me just say, it's all good. But this is the cover of one of the required books that all the future ministers and pastors and counselors and theologians at Tyndale have to do. It's called Reconnect. It's by an author. You may even know who it is, but I'm not going to name him for the sake of the video and all that. But how is this book, which actually contains 7 weeks, 7 days a week of spiritual exercises you're supposed to go through? The course is entitled Spiritual Formation. So it's basically how you're supposed to grow as a Christian. One question, just looking at the illustration, not having me tell you anything about these 49 days of spiritual exercises, is the author wanting you to play tennis as a Christian? Or does the author envision the Christianity as a team sport, as soccer? Which would you say it is, just by looking at the illustration of the cover? Is he wanting us to play soccer or wanting us to play tennis? Some people say soccer. He's wanting us to play tennis, I think. The picture here is sort of a modern-day reproduction of of the Sistine Chapel ceiling, Michelangelo's The Creation of Man, where God on the right-hand side is reaching over to touch Adam's hand on the left-hand side and give him life. And in the actual painting itself, in Michelangelo's painting, there's all kinds of other people and things going on there. But the author of this book takes that image, the image of just these two hands, one hand on the right-hand side representing God, the other hand on the left, sort of without life, representing us, people. And I believe he's envisioning the Christian life as primarily being tennis. Now, let me tell you this. We have to write a book report about these 7 days and seven days a week, 49 days of spiritual exercises, over 200 different spiritual things you're supposed to do in this book. And I'll just simply tell you of the 200 plus things you're supposed to do to reconnect, as the title says there, with God. The author takes his image of the Christian life as primarily being about tennis, and he applies it, probably, I would argue, unconsciously through the rest of the book, because over 49 days, 200 different things we're asked to do, only three of them involve other people. So less than 2% of the Christian life in this book is represented as being like soccer. Well, brothers and sisters, this is where our framing is so important. And I think coming out of the pandemic, I want you to think differently about prayer. I want you to think of it less like tennis, much more like soccer. Now, in North America, we're very inclined to think like tennis. Everything in our economy, our educational system, even our churches, all that we do is very much wired to approach life in tennis fashion. Not quite as much here in Canada. We're a bit more of a soccer team here in Canada. We share a little bit more through our taxes. You've all just probably had to file that like I have. That's really where you understand that Canada wants us to be more of a soccer team, less so like tennis players, if you're wondering. But certainly in North America, thanks to the influence of our cousins to the south, we're a very tennis type of culture. You're in it basically for yourself with a little bit of help in the winter, because it's so cold here in the country of Canada. But as I've already talked about this morning, it even makes its way into our Bible translations, where you today, plural and singular, there's no difference in modern English. And so when we come across a you, more often than not, when we read the Bible, what we're reading is singular, 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 tennis, tennis, tennis. When so often the Greek or Hebrew text underneath it, as the King James points out, is actually calling us to play more soccer. So, for example, in the Gospel of Matthew, next slide, please. There are actually, next slide again, there are actually at least 10 verses here that I pick out. I'm not going to read each one of them, but I'm going to have you guess which percentage of these 10 verses where Jesus is teaching about prayer are the pronouns singular or plural. Is Jesus calling us to play soccer, play tennis or soccer? So, for example, one of them, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, in English, in modern English, you can't tell, generally speaking, whether that is a singular you or a plural you. I'm just going to have you guess on this one. Which do you think it is? Is Jesus calling us to play tennis? Show of hands there. Is it a singular you? Pray for those who persecute you. Or is it a couple hands of tennis, or a plural you, a soccer. Okay, the soccer folks have it right. Matthew 6:5, Matthew 6:7, Matthew 6:9, Matthew 7:7, 14:23. You see them on the screens. There are all these different verses. I want you to know that 70% of those verses about prayer treat prayer like a soccer team, not a tennis player. 70% of the pronouns used there are plural. Jesus wanting us to play soccer in prayer, not play tennis. Next slide, please. So if Gethsemane is the picture of a failed prayer meeting, I want us to change our framing from prayer as something we primarily do off on our own by ourselves like a tennis game. And I want us to picture it much more like a soccer match. Next slide, please. In the book of Acts, we read this incredible passage where the church is praying prayer like a soccer team. It's praying prayer like a football match. Listen again here, once again, for the pronouns in Acts chapter 4. We read a bit of Nehemiah, and I had you listen for the pronouns there. Listen for the ones here. On their release, Acts 4, 23 to 31, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. Jumping down to verse 31, and after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. They, soccer, not tennis. The church in Acts, the Holy Spirit in Acts, is playing soccer. But we so much get stuck playing tennis in our Christian lives. And COVID has only emphasized the tennis part of Christianity. So Melville Presbyterian Church, next slide, please. I want us to picture the Christian life much more like a soccer team than a tennis match, if only for this one reason, that in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit never falls on anybody, never works in anybody's life, never does anything, calling someone out of darkness, healing people, giving people the ability to speak to others, doing all sorts of things. He never does it when anyone is alone. The Holy Spirit always plays soccer, calling us together, working in and through us. Just like Paul is calling the Corinthian church, as I read during the Word of God Illustrated, to much more play soccer in a church of tennis players. The Holy Spirit wants us to play soccer as a church. Next slide, please. So if we want to change the future, we've got to change the framing. And the thing I want us to reframe around going forward out of COVID as churches is to much more be approaching our Christian life, our church life, our prayer life like a soccer match than a tennis game. I saw on the screen that Bethany has opportunity for you to, in two different times, get together to either study that book or study one of the Gospels. That's an opportunity for you to much more play soccer. Yes, it's very important that you do your devotions on your own. There's an absolute tennis part of your Christian life. But especially if you haven't been part of a book study lately, get yourself to Bethany's 1 o'clock Wednesday afternoon study, or to the study going on about the cross and lynching on Wednesday nights. It will give you opportunity to get onto the pitch as a soccer player and off of the court as a tennis player. So how can we in prayer much more, next slide, please, pray like a soccer team than like a tennis player? Well, number one, when you're praying like a soccer team, keep your prayers short. You know, you're at the prayer meeting, sisters and brothers. So we believe that you're a Christ follower. We believe you're a Christian. You don't have to prove it to us by taking up all the time with your long prayer, okay? When you want to pray like a soccer team, keep your prayers short. Remember our Lord's Prayer. Interesting thing about the Lord's Prayer, all those pronouns, our Father, our trespasses, our debts, our sins, it's meant to be prayed together. The Lord's Prayer meant to be prayed like a soccer game, not like a tennis match. Very short prayer. Keep your prayer short. Number two, keep your prayers focused. You know, when a sister or a brother asks for prayer for their cousin or nephew or dog or whatever, focus on that. You don't have to pray all around the world and for their shoulder. Number three, if you want to play prayer together well as a soccer team, let's keep our prayers scriptural. You know, let's pray the word of God back to the God of the word. And fourthly, take time as a soccer team to listen to your coach. time. I love the fact that Tim, you know, started our service today, no doubt at Bethany's direction, with just that moment of quiet. Right? The world is just full of so many voices. Take time as a church, Melville Presbyterian, to just listen to what it is the Lord of the church wants to say to you. So I've come on pretty hard today about prayer and how we should picture it, how if we want to change our future, we've got to change the framing, and how I want you to think about prayer much more like soccer and less like tennis. But I want you to understand that what I really want for you, brothers and sisters, is to get in the game when it comes to prayer. To start making prayer a bigger part of your life as a tennis player and your life as a soccer player here at Melville. And I want you to know that when you do so, Bethany and I, just as if you were playing on the court or on the pitch in front of us, that we're here cheering you on. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that prayer is so important, that Jesus is at your right hand interceding for us at this very moment, that he is at your right hand praying for us, Lord. And so, Lord Jesus, we're thankful that we're not alone here today, that we're not alone as congregations coming out of COVID, but that you are praying for our blessing, praying for our success, Lord, praying for our faithfulness, praying, Lord God Almighty, that we will experience the filling and empowering of the Holy Spirit to be Melville Presbyterian Church today. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your prayers. We covet your prayers. And we ask that you would help us to pray together more as a congregation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray together. Lord our God, you have given us so many wonders in this world you created. We thank you for spring sunshine and refreshing rain, for colors exploding in blossoms opening, grass greening and gardens sprouting. Thank you for all the signs of new life around us this Easter season. Make the earth fruitful in this growing season so that food will be plentiful for the hungry. God of new life, we pray that we might learn to care for our planet as your gift before it's too late. We pray for scientists and all those who work tirelessly to teach us how to look after the environment. Renew their energy for the responsibilities they carry. We pray for leaders in government, business, and communities that they will take care for the earth. They will make care for the earth a priority for the sake of generations yet to come. Inspire each of us to do all we can, no matter how small or insignificant our efforts may seem, to walk more respectfully on the face of your creation. God of the small and insignificant, as well as the powerful and influential, we thank you for our families and friends who offer us love and encouragement as we move through life. We pray for those families and communities whose lives have been disrupted by war and conflict, who worry about safety each day and what the future will hold for them. Guide all those with decision-making power to consider the lives of the vulnerable as very precious. And guide them, Heavenly Father, to make policies that protect the future for them. God of the vulnerable, we pray for all those whose future is uncertain, for those who are facing illness or waiting for treatment, for those mourning the loss of someone dear, for those who feel lonely or discouraged. We pray, Heavenly Father, for those who are homeless or unemployed, for all who know hunger or despair, for those facing danger or discrimination every day. Empower us with your Spirit, Lord, to reach out to those in need in this community and in places distant from us, so that we can make your love tangible, Lord, in their lives, in Jesus' name.
God of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for this community that gathers in Jesus' name, for the warmth and welcome I've received even here today, Lord, at Melville Presbyterian Church. We thank you for the friendship and the faithfulness that so many have discovered as part of this faith community, for learning and leadership, Lord, provided by Reverend Bethany and the session, your elders and board of managers, Lord. We thank you for the hope that rises within us through the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, make us expressions of that hope to each other and to the world you love for his sake. As we, Lord God, today join our voices with his followers around the world, praying the words that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Here in the room and at home for the benediction, which today is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Melville Presbyterian Church. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your entire spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who calls you, and just so you know there, that's plural, meaning all of you, a soccer team, the one who calls us, let's put it that way, is faithful, and he will do it. Amen? Amen. Thanks so much for being here today. Just before everybody disperses and we all go somewhere else, can I do something that would be a blessing to Rouge Valley Church this afternoon? Can I take a selfie with all of you just standing right where you are? All right, so just stand where you are, and we're going to try and get as many of us, you know, just to remind them all, thank you, that we're one big soccer team. All right, I'm not even sure if it's taking them. I think it is. God bless you. Thank you very much.